September 20, 1894. Words to the Young. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. God requires us to be faithful in the smallest details of life, to guard our words, our spirit, and our actions. To do this, we need to acquire perfect self-control, and this will demand of us constant, ceaseless watchfulness. While we educate ourselves to place our entire trust in God, we shall not be justified in outbursts of passion and in the utterance of words that we shall be ashamed to meet in the judgment. But when the will of God becomes our individual will, we shall find everything moving in a harmonious way. If we are consistent in little things, we shall be able to be consistent in larger matters. Were self kept under control, serious errors in home and business life would be avoided. Among the members of many families, there is practiced the habit of saying loose, careless things, and the habit of tantalizing, of speaking harsh words, becomes stronger and stronger as it is indulged, and thus many objectionable words are spoken that are after Satan's order and not after the order of God. Should those who indulge in speaking words of passion study the guidebook and with a serious mind seek to know its requirements and to do them, should they make practical its injunctions, what a transformation would there be in the conduct and conversation? Burning words of passion should never be spoken, for in the sight of God and holy angels, they are as a species of swearing. The directions of God's word are to be implicitly obeyed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Every relation in life, every position of responsibility, every affection and habit, every emotion of the mind, is to be brought to the great standard of righteousness, the commandments of God, which are exceeding broad. We must have simplicity of heart that we may understand, and willingness of mind to practice all the teachings of God's word. In order that the soul may become a vessel unto honor for the glory of God, it is necessary for it to be sanctified and prepared to every good work, and the whole mind must be molded by the Holy Spirit. Divine power will combine with human effort when we seek earnestly to be complete in Christ Jesus. The Lord will help everyone who seeks Him with all his heart. He shall have the light of life, and that light shines from the living oracles. As the light of the sun sheds its warmth throughout all the world, so the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness will shed health-giving rays into the heart. But he who does not walk in the light will be left at last in darkness. Let every youth consider the parable of the 10 virgins. All had lamps, that is, an outward semblance of religion, but only 5 of them had the inward piety. 5 of them were wanting in the oil of grace. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was not abiding in their hearts. Without the oil of grace, of what use was it to bear about a lamp of profession? However high may be the profession, however high may be the position held by a professor of religion, if the oil of grace is wanting, he has nothing with which to feed his lamp, and it cannot send forth clear, shining rays of light. It is possible to have just enough religion to deaden the conscience, deceive the senses, and ruin the soul. Just enough outward appearance of sanctity to have a name to live while we are dead. We can do no good thing except as we are in cooperation with divine agencies. work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Lord is soon to come, and it is a solemn thought that those who might be workers together with God are not wearing the yoke of Christ. The reason why the bridegroom delays is because he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Oh, the precious long-suffering of our merciful Savior! Oh, that each of the dear youth would appreciate the value of the soul that has been purchased at infinite cost on Calvary! Oh, that each one would place a proper estimate upon the capabilities that have been given him of God! Through Christ you may climb the ladder of progress and bring every power under the control of Jesus. You may represent the character of Jesus in spirit, in thought, in word, and in action. You may make manifest that you are moved by the Spirit of Christ, and your life may wield a power of influence over others. We are living in altogether too solemn a period of the world's history to be careless and negligent. God has given you moral powers and has made you susceptible to religious influences. He has provided opportunities and facilities that are favorable to the development of a Christ-like character. And it now remains with you as to whether or not you will cooperate with divine agencies and make your calling and election sure. Will you not seize, appreciate, and appropriate every help that has been provided? You must pray, believe, and obey. In your own strength, you can do nothing. But in the grace of Jesus Christ, you can employ your powers in such a way as to bring the greatest good to your own soul and the greatest blessing to the souls of others. Lay hold of Jesus, and you will diligently work the works of Christ, and will finally receive the eternal reward. Be faithful in that which is least. A little lad was once permitted to accompany a railway engineer, and he noticed that the engineer knelt down and closed his eyes at every station as they stopped to take in passengers or to let them out. Finally, the little lad asked the engineer what he was doing when he was kneeling down before the engine started. The engineer said, "My little lad, do you ever pray?" The boy replied, "Oh, yes, sir, I pray every morning and evening." Then the engineer told him that he was praying when he knelt down, saying, "There are perhaps 200 passengers now on this train, and their lives are entrusted to my care. A little mistake on my part, a failure to do my duty, a little neglect, a little inattention to signals, might send these souls into eternity. So at every station, I ask the Master to help me. He has helped me during all the years I have been on the engine, and not a single human being of the thousands that have been carried on my train has been marred. I have never had an accident." Are we as solicitous as was this engineer to be faithful in that which is least? Do we realize that solemn responsibilities are resting upon us to represent Christ to the world in good works? Do we understand that the eternal destiny of souls will be decided by the course we take? Souls are perishing for the words of life. Shall their blood be found upon our garments? God has done his part in the work, and now he wants the cooperation of living human agents. His plan is not something untried. It has been fully developed. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Who will lay hold of the work of cooperating with heavenly agencies for the indispensable work of saving the souls of those who are perishing? Who will become living channels of light? Who will seek God earnestly and find him to the joy of their souls. God will work through you to the salvation of many. When Jesus is comprehended by faith and brought into the inner sanctuary of the soul, the Holy Spirit will mold and fashion the character after the likeness of Christ. Lessons will then be daily learned in the school of Christ. The character of the tree will be known by its fruits. By their fruits ye shall know them. The Christian will shine as a light amid the moral darkness of the world. He will be tender of heart and considerate of the feelings of others. The Word of God instructs us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And it is the duty of every Christian to bring himself under discipline to the rules of the Bible, that he may be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The work coming from the hands of those who do this will be as lasting as eternity. It will not be mingled with a shred of selfishness, and it will not be loose, careless work.